So today I'll talk about blessings number 11 to 14. And the verse goes as follows. Mata pitu upatanang puttathara sa sangkaho anakula cakamanta eta mangkalamutamang. To care for one's father and one's mother. Puttatarasa sankaho. To take care of one's family, one's spouse and one's children. Anakula cakamanta. Whatever actions are unconfused or unentangled, which are clear and free any actions which are free and clear. Etamangalamutamang, these are blessings in the highest sense. Mata pitu upatanang, to take care of one's father and mother is something we can see as it plays a very important role in the Lord Buddha's teaching. Even as a bodhisattva, before the Lord Buddha had become fully in birth after birth, he would look after his parents. It was something he had realized early on was most important. And even once he became an enlightened Buddha, he continued to look after his parents and think of his parents. And his disciples carried on the tradition. Sariputta, before Sariputta was going to pass away, he knew that he was old and was ready to pass away, and he got very sick. And he knew that his time had come. But he knew that he shouldn't pass away before he had gone back to teach his mother what was the right path and the right way to go. And so even though he was sick, he went back to visit his mother in Nalanda. And even his mother was a Brahmin, believed in ritual sacrifice, and thought that the Lord Buddha's teaching was just a bunch of heresy. Sariputta, out of respect for his mother, in order to be a support for his mother, taught his mother what was the truth of the Lord Buddha's teaching. We can see care of one's mother and father is not just something that is useful in a worldly sense, it's most important in terms of the practice of the Dhamma. Whatever problems we have with our mother and our father will always come back to haunt us during the practice. When we practice, the most important is to send all the goodness that we have in our hearts and all of the good deeds that we do as in the practice of meditation, all the goodness which comes from the practice of meditation. It's most important that we dedicate the goodness to our mother and father. Something which makes our hearts calm and peaceful, allows us to practice meditation. And when we have a chance, we should try to find a way to go back and repay our parents for all the good things that they've done to us. Lord Buddha said it's very difficult to repay one's parents, because what they've done for us is something that we cannot do for them, not in this life. They were our first teachers. They were our protectors, supporters. Without ever asking for repayment. And so the Lord Buddha taught that the only way we could really do something that would equal or would be able to rival the good deeds goodness that they have done for us is if we bring the Dhamma to them. There's no amount of support we can give to them that could equal the support that they have given to us, except in the Dhamma, except in the truth. If we bring to them its reality, help them to come to see what are good deeds, what are bad deeds, what is the fruit of bad deeds, what is the fruit of good deeds. Teach them to have faith in the truth. Teach them to come to see the truth. Teach them to have morality, to avoid evil deeds. Teach them how to practice vipassana meditation. This is a way the Lord Buddha said to repay one's parents. This is the highest blessing. Because of the support it has in the mind, what support it gives to the mind. As I said, the person who has never supported their parents or has done bad things to one's parents, will find it very difficult to practice meditation. The blessing which comes from having supported one's parents is the great peace and happiness of knowing that one has paid back two people who are very difficult to pay back. When one brings them goodness and happiness in their hearts, it is a great blessing in the highest sense. And next is two blessings mixed into one. But we count them as two. One is looking after one's children. One is looking after spouse. So these are two blessings which are blessings in a worldly sense. In line with the Dhamma, monks and nuns, they don't have spouses. But as far as children, they can very easily have children. Because in Buddhism, the word child is used in many different ways. There's the child comes through the body. This is the biological child. One is the biological parent of the child. In this case, it's not likely or not frequent where a monk or a nun has such a child that they could have from their past life as a layperson. And then there's the child who is a child of the village. It's living in the same village. So when they say that there's some ancient proverb which says that it takes a whole village to raise a child. This is what the proverb means. And this is what this kind of child refers to. Where the whole village looks after all the children. Where we look after children as our own because they live in the same village or they live in the same area. And then the third kind is one who comes to us as a student. Either someone else's parents bring them to us to look after because we're a teacher, or else they come on their own accord. This becomes our child in the sense of our student, someone who we teach how to practice meditation. We teach how to practice the Lord Buddha's teaching. And looking after children is the most important thing as well. Someone else has given to us all of the goodness which we have inside. Someone else has helped us to get whatever benefit we can from the spiritual life. And if we keep to ourselves and don't pass it on, it will end right there. I find the world will not be able to sustain the goodness. There's no one to continue the goodness. Even here in Thailand, maybe 50 years ago, there was not so much vipassana practice in Thailand. Until Somdet Phuthachan, the abbot of Wat Mahathat, he had a wish because he had studied so much of the Buddha's teaching, and he had established so much study of the Buddha's teaching in monastery and all around Thailand even. But he said what Thailand was missing was meditation practice. If they didn't have meditation practice, there would be no enlightened beings in the country. There would be no one who could really become free from suffering. There was no strong, concentrated practice of vipassana meditation. There was no one teaching how to practice vipassana meditation. And so he helped to find a teacher and to establish the teaching here in Thailand. And now we can see Thailand is becoming famous for vipassana meditation. Wat Chom Thong is quite well known. Wat Lam Pung, Wat Mahathat, Wat Amphawan, Wat Vivekasom. There's many places around the country where one can practice vipassana meditation. Many millions of people practicing. Maybe not millions, maybe thousands and thousands of people practicing. This is a kind of way of looking after one's children, looking after the generations to come. Pachima Janata, the people who will come after we are gone, to pass on teaching, to keep the world in peace and harmony. This is one way of explaining Buddha Sangha, Buddha Sangha ho. But in the world also we can, it's most important that we look after our children, our biological children, or the children around us. But here when we talk about this in a setting of Vipassana meditation, we talk about passing on and spreading the teaching, looking after other people. Right now we're coming to look after ourselves first. But when we have a chance, then we can go and look after other people. Go and help other people to become free from suffering. And the third blessing is looking after one's spouse, specifically in a worldly sense. It'd be hard to find an equivalent in the, for the recluse and for the monk and for the nun. Looking after one's spouse is another important establishment in Buddhism. Of course, it's just a concept. There's no ultimate reality in the need for a spouse. But in the Buddha's time, and as well in the present time, I think it is a very important establishment for people who are living in the world. Even those followers of the Lord Buddha who became anagami, they could still be married, still have a wife, still have a husband. But they would become disinterested in all sexual activity and all romantic activity. But they could still live something like brother and sister. Because it is the most helpful and supportive environment to live as husband and wife. If one is to live in the world, it's very difficult to live alone. You have to take care of the house which you live in, and you have to go out and try to find money, try to find support and resources. And to do both of these things at once is quite difficult. We have the establishment of the husband and wife. Whichever one to stay home, and whichever one to go out and find the support to keep both people's life going. So we support each other by being faithful to one another, by respecting one another, by taking care of our respective duties. And this is a great blessing in the world. So we ask, how do monks and nuns get along if they don't have this kind of support? Monks and nuns have to rely only on themselves. But they also rely on each other. Monks rely on the other monks, the nuns rely on the other nuns. They have some kind of very, very large family as a result of their ordination. That wherever the monks go, they can find support from other monks. Wherever the nuns go, they can find support from other nuns. And even the other way, the monks find support from nuns, the nuns find support from monks. They can support each other insofar as is appropriate. This is the third blessing. The fourth one is whatever those deeds which are free and clear. Anakula. Akula means fused or entangled. It could be entangled with deceit or treachery or evil. Could be confused with delusion or laziness. It means whatever work we have to do, we do it with a clear mind. In the time of the Lord Buddha, there was a teaching called karma. Karma meant action. Karma means that every action we do has karmic potential, has potential to bring fruits, bring either suffering or happiness. And so nowadays people say the Lord Buddha taught the law of karma. And it is true that he taught a law of karma. But if you're really going to call it the law of karma, it's actually the Lord Buddha didn't teach the law of karma. He taught that it was not, that the law of karma was a false law. Because according to the Lord Buddha, karma is not the most important thing. Action is not the most important thing. But rather than say it like that to all the people who believed in karma as a very important thing, the Lord Buddha was very clever. He tried to explain what is real karma, what constitutes a real action which will really bring results. Lord Buddha said it is the intention. It is intention which is the deed. The intention itself is the deed. And so when we act with an impure heart, with a heart of greed or anger or delusion, this is a deed which is called akula. It's confused or all mixed up with evil. If we just act without any special intention, it's not true that every action will bring some kind of karmic result. It's only when we have greed or when we have anger or when we have delusion. So when we walk and we step on an ant without seeing the ant, can't say that that's going to bring evil results to us. But when we have anger in our minds, we kill or we steal or we do evil things, for sure this will bring evil results. First it will bring evil results to our minds, and later on it will bring revenge and more suffering to us. And in the opposite sense, whatever deeds we do are accompanied with mindfulness, with intention to help, intention to bring freedom from suffering, happiness and peace. These deeds will surely bring good results in this life and in the next life. This is why it's most important that we develop our minds, establish our minds in goodness. Because in our minds there are two sides. There are good things in our minds and there are bad things in our minds. We always have the opportunity to choose. Do we want to follow after bad things or do we want to develop ourselves in good things? When we come to practice vipassana, this we made the choice to develop ourselves in good things and to get rid of all the bad things in our minds. So we come to practice vipassana meditation. It's the greatest blessing. It brings all the blessings to us. Our minds become free from confusion or entanglement. And everything we do becomes either a good karma or no karma. There's never any more bad karma. Our minds are free from greed, free from anger, free from delusion, and so when we act, we will act in out of desire to help other people, to support other people, to help ourselves, to support ourselves, to bring only peace and happiness to the world. This is the 14th, blessing number 14.